The Study of the Bible, number 6, Elder S.N. Haskell, Thursday, February 2nd, 1893. We should keep in mind the object of our Bible study and be impressed with the thought that the Lord alone can teach us. This is important. We have tried to show the importance of the Bible study from the fact that God saw us from eternity and inspired men to write what is written for our individual benefit. So, if we would be benefited by it, it is necessary that we should come as Mary did to the feet of the Savior and take his words and let him unfold them to our understanding. We hear the words spoken by others, and that is all in God's order. But we cannot take it simply because others say so and then go out and do the will of God. We may be moved intellectually by what we hear, but unless we take the word itself and sit at the feet of Jesus himself and receive that instruction as coming to us individually, direct from God, it will do us no good. The Lord desires that we shall be benefited and that we shall receive from him his Holy Spirit, that we may be prepared for what is coming upon the earth. Some may say, why dwell so much on studying the Bible now? God wants to come into our hearts as he never has before. He wants our minds expanded so that we could understand. Our ideas have been too narrow. Because we have some little flashes of light, we become satisfied too easily. The Lord wants to fit us for the kingdom. Satan is going to bring every device upon us to destroy souls, and every principle of our hearts will be tested. Thousands will be shaken out. Why? Because they have not received Christ in all his fullness. The Lord wants to come into our hearts in his fullness, and he wants us to open our hearts to receive him. Now, the wisdom that God gives, and that is in Christ, is all truth and all knowledge, and is in all the Bible. God has given us two great textbooks. One is the written word, and the other is nature, and they are so interwoven that we cannot study his word properly without seeing God in nature. If we do not see him in that light, brethren, it is because we have taken incorrect views of the word. We have seen that there is salvation in every line that God has spoken. The more that he gives us of his word, the greater is the revelation of Christ to us. I wish to read a few passages in references to the wisdom and the light that God gives his people. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. Christ quotes these words in Matthew 13, verses 34 and 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. What is this? It is simply the revelation of Jesus Christ, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. They were dark sayings of old. Dark to whom? Not to Christ, but to men. Christ came to reveal them and make them clear. Consequently, the Savior quotes this very prophecy to show that his instruction, which is only a revelation of himself, is what was dark before, but is now made light by Christ. Let us read further in Psalms 78, verses 4 and 5. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Close quote. Then the wonderful works of God were in his law, and he commanded his people to make known his works to their children, that the generation to come might know them. From Genesis to Revelation, the works of the great Creator in nature and Christ and the commandments are inseparable. Everything is included in them, and one cannot be taken without the other. One reason why Christians have been so weak is because while the devil could not keep God's people from serving the Lord, yet he has made them live along on a portion only of that which could make them strong. But God wants to unfold to our minds just before he appears in the clouds of heaven all the wisdom contained in himself. And by this revelation, we will have what we talk about in the loud cry of the third angel's message. What is going to reveal it? It is his Holy Spirit. Do you see that in the scripture I have read, the works of God and the words of God and Jesus Christ are all interwoven together? You cannot separate them. Why is it that so many children of Seventh-day Adventists are going to destruction? Because they have not been taught right. They have not been taught the truths which God would have them taught. Jesus Christ has in him everything that is good, brethren, and I could say something that would enlighten our minds to grasp him in all his fullness. When you get the heart open, Christ will come into the soul. I will read Psalms 111, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Close quote. There is a difference between the way God educates people and the way in which they are educated by the textbooks of the world. You will find thousands of people at the present time who have acquired what is called a good education, but who do not amount to a snap of the finger. Why? They have not received the Spirit of God with their education. When the Spirit of Christ goes with the education and directs the mind in the channel of Jesus Christ, there is in that in which makes the learner a power in the world. When we read the Bible, the mind comes in contact with the divine mind, and that makes us practical. When we come to it to get practical instruction for our own benefit, then it is that we learn that which will save. But he who only tries to get out a theory to help somebody else gets something that will only please the fancy and appeal to the intellect and will not save his own soul or the souls of those that hear. Verses 3 and 4, quote, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, close quote. The Lord sympathizes with every right feeling of our hearts. He begets every good desire and then sympathizes with us. You remember Matthew 9, verse 36, that as Christ taught the people, they were so tired that they lay down on the ground, as the margin says, and the Savior felt their tired feeling and shared their weariness. That was physical weariness, which might be relieved by a little time of resting. But if simply a tired feeling drew upon the sympathy of the Savior, I ask, what may we not expect when we really desire to be taught by Him? My brethren, we have not yet learned Christ in all His fullness. He is such a precious Savior. And in the following verses, you will notice that as the people were thus weary, He said to His disciples, quote, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few," close quote. Why was it that He said this in this connection? It was because He desired laborers who would have the same sympathy with the weary and heavy laden that He Himself had. It was the lack of such laborers that prompted Him to speak the words. Go back and read Psalms 111, verses 5 through 10. The 10th verse says, quote, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever," close quote. What is the first condition of mind that will place ourselves where Christ can instruct us? The fear of God. Here also we again have His commandments, His praise, and His works interwoven together. If there ever was a people who should take in all His fullness, it is those who have a knowledge of His commandments as we have had. He designed those having this to become such powers as never were upon the earth before. We never can be thankful enough that God gave us light and knowledge of His law. Again, in the 119th Psalm, verses 34, 73, 97, and 99, quote, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn Thy commandments. Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Thy testimonies are my meditation," close quote. There is something He got out of these testimonies that gave Him more understanding and made Him wiser than His teachers. And when we say this, do not think that it simply means that He was wiser because He had a knowledge of salvation. It gave Him a breadth of mind greater than that of His teachers. It enlarged His capacity. The Bible is the best book in the world to train the intellect and quicken the memory. My memory about gave out a few years ago, and I could scarcely remember anything. But I got hold of that text in John, which says that the Spirit will bring things to our remembrance. I believe God will do something for the memory. There is not a good thing God will not give a man. It is all in the Bible, and it will come to those that love His law and can see His works in His law. Let us let our minds expand. It will make us love the world as the work of God. It will make us love the heathen and want to go to them. But when we get this mangled Christianity and forget what God can do for us, we get narrowed down. Verse 100, quote, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep Thy precepts," close quote. This sounds much like Solomon's wisdom. Bear in mind that these ancient nations were the educated people of the earth, but God gave such wisdom to Solomon that others came to him to see it. The Queen of Sheba came to hear his wisdom, and it was such that she said it left no spirit in her. Men may make laws against the people of God, and what do they amount to? They are just as brittle as straw when they come against God's saints. But you say, some may have to go to prison. What of it? Peter got into prison, but the Lord did not want him there. And the light of his glory came into the room, and the angel awakened Peter and struck the chains from off his hands. Peter was so intent on what was being done that he forgot to care for his health. And the angel told him to put on his sandals and his garment, for I suppose they were going out into the cold night air. The Lord's wisdom is for our body, soul, and spirit. The Lord does not leave us to forget the care for our health. He made the psalmist wiser than the ancients. I am glad, brethren, that God wants to take us up from the world, wants to bring us into a position where he can lead and manage us just as he pleases. But, says one, what if somebody kills you? I will die, as far as this world is concerned, but I will have a resurrection. I would like to know what life is good for if all we have is in this world. But if our life is hid with Christ in God, and he says, go to the grave, he will bring us out again. If the Lord does not want it, there are not devils enough to send a man there. A man cannot get sick enough to go there. But if it is for us to go down, we will catch hold of that promise. Quote, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth, and the time in the grave will not be as a second to us. There is something so precious in the gospel of Christ that it makes my soul glad when I think of it. Verses 101 and 102. Quote, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Close quote. Who taught him? God. How? Through his word, by his Holy Spirit. Verse 103, quote, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth, close quote. David, have you not found some dry chapters in God's word? He does not intimate anything of this kind. Verse 104, quote, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way, close quote. The reason why so many men love false ways is because they do not get their understanding from God's commandments. They do not embrace Christ and see in his character the attraction that connects them with him. They have a theory without seeing the beauty and glory there is in the living Christ. And they do not see that his life and character were simply the manifestation of the law of God. If a man says he loves Christ and does not love his commandments, well, John says he's a liar. Verse 169. Quote, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word, close quote. Then our understanding will be according to the revealed word, the Spirit of God, and the word always agree. There was one thought yesterday that I was advancing just as my time was up, to which I wish to allude again. But before doing this, let me read 2 Timothy 1, verses 4 and 5. Quote, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, close quote. Now that which dwelt in Timothy he calls unfeigned faith. And this was taught to him by his mother and grandmother. Then it was according to the law of God. You remember we read in the 6th of Deuteronomy that they were to teach the principles of the law to their children and grandchildren. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, the apostle says, quote, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, close quote. The Lord told his people to pass down the knowledge of his precepts to their children. Let mothers teach their children what is in the law, unfeigned faith. It is Christ in every line of that law. The other day, we read from the review that it was our work to lift up Jesus and proclaim the message of warning to the world as revealed in types, as shadowed in symbols, as manifested in the revelation of the prophets, as unfolded in the lessons Christ gave to his disciples, and in the wonderful miracles for the sons of men. Then the time has come when we must take all the Bible, and it is all condensed in the third angel's message. Turn also and read 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, quote, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus," close quote. Now, I want to read again from Patriarchs and Prophets, something that we read the other day, page 594. Moses, Samuel, David were thus taught, and Christ. Did Christ get any education speaking of his youth? He had the same training by his mother at home that God told every parent to give to their children. And speaking from a human standpoint, that was the mold the mother gave to the Savior. Suppose she had taught him something else. She would have sinned before God. Every mother that neglects this and fails to teach her children the love of God as shown in his works in nature and his character as shown in his word fails of the commission which God has given her. This failure is one reason why so many children are going to destruction. I tell you, brethren, there is a living reality in the word of God when we follow it. It makes all the difference in the world how we read the Bible. It is just what we take it for. If you take it believing there is salvation and light in every line, you will get it. But if you do not think it is there, you will not get it. It is just like salvation. The Lord holds it out and invites a man to take it. But if he says he does not believe he will get it, he does not get it. The Lord offers to forgive men's sins. But if a man says he does not believe the Lord will do it, why, he will not do it. I believe there is salvation in every part of the Bible. It is in those chapters and chronicles that are full of names, and it is everywhere. I find something on this line in Christian Temperance as I picked it up a little while ago to look into it. And you will find, if you study the Bible and the testimonies, that wherever you read, if you read it right, the Lord will bring out to your mind the things which will do you good. The other day in my room, two sisters came in and wanted me to read the Bible with them. I really wanted to study for these lessons, but as they asked me to read, I felt as though I would have to. And we read the second chapter of Genesis, and in the reading of the first few verses of that chapter, the Lord gave me all the line of thought which I brought on in the lesson the other day. And I heard some of you say it was a good one. I will read from page 57 of Christian Temperance, quote, "Do not send your little ones away to school too early. The mother should be careful how she trusts the molding of the infant mind to other hands. Parents ought to be the best teachers of their children till they have reached 8 or 10 years of age. Their schoolroom should be the open air amid the flowers and the birds, and their textbook the treasures of nature. As fast as their minds can comprehend it, the parents should open before them God's great book of nature. These lessons, given amid such surroundings, will not soon be forgotten. great pains should be taken to prepare the soil of the heart for the sower to scatter the good seed. If half the time and labor that is now worse than wasted in following the fashions of the world were devoted to the cultivation of the mind of the children, to the formation of correct habits, a marked change would be apparent in families. Close quote. Well, says one, do you not think it is too late to begin now? It is never too late to get back to first principles. When we get to the eternal shore, the Lord will begin with us right where we left off here. We take, as it were, the primer lesson here, and through all eternity, the Lord will lead us on in the advanced lessons, and it is never too late until probation closes to begin to learn the Lord's ways. In the Bible, we will get the principles that will prepare us for the lessons on the eternal shore. The signs, number 13, came out last night, and I will read something from that from the pen of Sister White. Quote, in searching for heaven-revealed truths, the Spirit of God is brought into close connection with the sincere searcher of the Scriptures. An understanding of the revealed will of God enlarges the mind, expands, elevates, and endows it with new vigor by bringing its faculties into contact with stupendous truth. No study is better to give energy to the mind, to strengthen the intellect, than the study of the Word of God. No other book is so potent in elevating the thoughts, in giving vigor to the faculties, as is the Bible, which contains the most ennobling truths. If God's Word were studied as it should be, we would see breadth of mind, stability of purpose, nobility of character such as is rarely seen in these times. But the study of the Word of God is made a secondary consideration, and a great loss is sustained thereby. The understanding takes the level of the things with which it becomes familiar. If all would make the Bible their study, we would see a people who were better developed, who were capable of thinking more deeply, who would manifest greater intelligence than those who have earnestly studied apart from the Bible the sciences and histories of the world. Parentheses. Brethren, if a young man wants to fit himself for the ministry or for usefulness in the cause and has the chance of spending 5 years in a worldly institution of learning where there is not the molding influence of the Spirit of God, he had better take 1 year of reading the Bible, and he will get a greater mental training than to go to such a school. Close parentheses. The Bible gives the true seeker for truth an advanced mental discipline, and he comes from the contemplation of divine things with his faculties enriched. Self is humbled while God and his revealed truth are exalted. The searching of all books of philosophy and science cannot do for the mind and morals what the reading of the Bible can do if its teaching is made practical. He who studies the Bible holds communion with patriarchs and prophets. He comes in contact with truth clothed in elevated language, which exerts a fascinating power over the mind and lifts the thought from the things of earth to the glory of the future immortal life. What wisdom of man can compare with the revelation of the grandeur of God? Finite man, who knows not God, seeks to lessen the value of the Scriptures, claiming that their supported knowledge of science will not harmonize with the Word of God. But the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. Close quote. And the end of Elder Haskell's sermon.